The great Muhammad Ali has passed away, one of the great icons in world sport, known in just about every country. Well, joining us on the line now is Paddy Doherty, who lives in Ballintra. He turned professional in 1971. He'd won the national senior title for a second time and had won a bronze medal at the Commonwealth Games in Edinburgh. He went on to have 16 professional fights, winning 14 of them, and was on the bill in 1972 in Croke Park, when, of course, there was that Ali versus Al Blue Lewis fight in front of a biggish crowd there. Paddy, delighted you could come on the programme this afternoon. And, of course, the great Ali, he hadn't been too well in recent times, and we all were quite aware of that. But nevertheless, his passing has evoked a great outpouring of grief and admiration. He really was one of the greatest ever sports personalities.
Well, he was a gentleman as well as a great sportsman. He was very nice to meet. I shook his hand at Croke Park, and I boxed on the Albert Hall in 1970. And he done an exhibition with Graham Sines and Gypsy Johnny Franken. And the hall was in stitches. Franken couldn't enter the ring, and he done the alley shuffle. And when he done the alley shuffle, Muhammad stepped out of the ring. He said he didn't want to fight him at all. So, you know, he was a character in his own right. You know?
Now, tell us a little bit about the Croke Park billing. There was quite a story around the fact that Ali, who was such a household name at that time, that he was coming to Dublin, and there were quite a few deals to get it done, and a few real characters involved.
Well, Buddy Sugar was the main man to do, put on the bill along with Mickey Duff. And it was a good bill. Joe Bugner was on it. He fought Paul Nelson from Montreal. John Conte was on it. He fought Johnny Mack from New York. Paddy McGuire was on it from Belfast. He fought a boy from France, and another very good friend of mine passed away 2 years ago too. Pat McCormick, he fought another boy from France, you know. And a very good show.
And tell us about the whole Ali mania in Dublin. How aware were you of the crowd's reaction to seeing him?
Well, the crowd, they enjoyed him. Like, you know, he's great. Like, it was sold out. Croke Park was sold out. And there were a lot at the hotel the day before at the weigh-in at the main hotel in Dublin. I can't think of his name now.
But at the weigh-in, a big crowd and expectation. Did you get to speak to him yourself?
No, I just got a check in his hand. Like, you know, you wouldn't get near him because he had security around him, you know. A lot of security around him, and very, very hard to get to him, you know. So.
But great for you to have been on that same bill.
It was great to be on the bill. Like, you know, I fought a boy called Bobby Ruff from Swansea over 6 rounds, and I won the fight, so that is good, you know.
Yeah. And as you grew up, what was Ali very much your hero?
Yeah, Ali was my hero. As from Joe Lewis. Joe Lewis, he was the daddy of them all that time, you know. And Ali then came along.
And in those days, of course, I mean, the heavyweight division, there was huge interest in, and not the divisions in boxing that happened in subsequent years.
Yeah, the heavyweight. Ali brought the heavyweight to his peak, like, you know, because everybody was going to see, they're going to see him getting beat, you know.
Yeah.
So he was fantastic. He had great footwork, he had great hand speed, and he was the daddy of boxing that time, you know.
And why is it, do you think, that, you know, people of practically every age have heard of him? I mean, people have excelled in so many sports, but few people have such global recognition as Muhammad Ali.
Well, he refused to join the army in New York to go to Vietnam to fight. And he as he said, why go out and kill his brothers? What they do with him, you know? And he lost his title over that. And getting him back 3 years after and he won the title back. And I just listened to this morning to the news. George Foreman says he lost a part of his body when Ali died, you know. Him and George Foreman are very, very great. They're very, very friendly, you know.
And the likes of Barry McGuigan have been speaking about him today and, you know, saying that... And I think Gary Lineker, the soccer player, said that Ali has fought his final round or something to that extent. And it was his off-the-ring personality as well and the whole showmanship that appealed to so many.
Yeah, he was very, very... He was kind of a down-to-earth kind of a man. Like, you know, he didn't mess about his words. Like, whatever Ali had to say, he said it out, you know. And he was, you know, just... I can't put it in words, you know. But I was just very sad to hear that he died this morning. Yeah. I heard on the 6 o'clock news, you know.
And tell us about the night at Croke Park after your own fight. Were you ringside to watch Ali?
I was ringside to watch Ali. I came out of the dressing room and I was next fight on after Ali's fight, so I was at the ringside when he came out of it. And he was, you know, Ablu Lewis, he got into the ring with he had the socks on him up to his knees. He had Kerry socks on, Kerry football socks on, because Buddy Sugar came from Kerry. So he had Albert Lewis was representing Kerry with his football socks on them, you know.
And how did the fight go?
Ali could have knocked him out of many times. It was just a kind of a fixed fight. Ali could have knocked him out of the name, but he had him down. They put him down the 10th round, the last round, and he walked up and he got back up after the 10th round. And he took him the distance. Sure, at the end of the day, I heard then after it, Ablu Lewis was his sparring partner for Muhammad Ali.
Right. So, and in those days, the money in the sport was nothing near what it is today. And I read once that I think your fee on the night was something in the region of 400 quid, but by the time bits and pieces were taken out, you ended up with, was it 100 pounds?
£100 in my pocket, leaving Croke Park.
Yeah, for a fight like that with so many people.
I topped the bill in the American Sporting Club. I got £275 for the fight. An 8-rounder. I was back in Dublin with £50 in my pocket.
So you're hardly going to retire in that?
I don't know, but yeah. I enjoyed the boxing, and I enjoyed the amateur. I've seen the world of amateur boxing, and I think I wouldn't encourage anyone for the turn pro. At the minute, they're getting well paid in the amateur boxing, you know. So and they're talking about taking the professionals now into the Olympics, and I think that shouldn't be allowed, you know.
Yeah, yeah, and for people like Jason Quigley, I mean, it's sort of that. Maybe caught between two stools as well. I mean, what road do you go down?
Well, I hope Jason does well. Jason Quigley's a nice young fella. He's a wee gentleman, Jason Quigley. And I hope Jason does well in the boxing. But I told him, sitting in the chat with Jason one day, I told him, I said, Jason, if it gets tight for you, get in, get out. Don't stay about to get a punch drunk, you know. Get a few pounds, pack it in. It's a different game, professional boxing, amateur boxing. You're in there for 10 rounds, and it's a long time.
And do you think the professional boxers who have the chance to go to the Olympics, in what way should they view that?
Well, I was just reading the other day in the paper, that the WBC reckons any boxer go to the Olympics, they're going to suspend them. You know, and the WBA said they would suspend any boxer that go to fight in the Olympics.
Yeah.
So I don't think they should be allowed to box in the Olympics.
Right. No. Back to the Croke Park and the Ali bill and you being on it. And I think there was a bit of a story as well about the programmes for the event.
So the programmes, the young McBurtons from Edenderry, they were selling the programmes outside the gates and that. And they sold a lot of programmes, a couple of hundred programmes. I think it was £2 a programme. And after the programmes were sold, went back into the dressing room, counting the money. And two boys came in, dressed with suits on them, asked them where the money of the programmes, and said, there's the money there. So they said they'd take it, so they took the money. And when the end of the fight, Buddy Sugar came looking for the money, and the boys just, some boy came in and took it. So they got away with a couple of £100 of the money, you know.
Now, in this day and age, if there was such a bill at Croke Park, it would be done through Ticketmaster, and people would be paying online and credit card, and there'd be millions of pounds changing hands, and everybody would get their cut. But in those days, it was a bit of a gamble to stage a fight with Ali and to cover all the costs, and certainly those involved didn't really make much out of it.
No, I don't think they made any money out of it, because the ring was in the middle of Croke Park. And there was seats around. It was, I think it was £200 at ringside seats. And there was no bother coming down from the stand and hopping across the fence and getting up to the ringside, you know. They had bad security in that to do as well.
Yeah, and I saw there was a fascinating documentary on RTE about the whole staging of it some years ago, and I think at one stage, I mean, there was a real worry that there weren't going to be enough tickets sold for it.
Well, that was said too on 2 days before the fight, but there was a lot of tickets sold because around the ring was packed. But then, as I said, they were coming from the stand and down onto the football field. So there's a lot of tickets sold, but then, as I said, there wasn't enough tickets sold to pay all the boxers. So it's costing money.
Yeah. So Muhammad Ali no longer with us. The news headlines, the television footage tonight. There'll be no doubt follow-up programs. What would be your biggest memory of the great man?
Biggest memory of the time we fought Henry Cooper, another gentleman. Henry Cooper used to come into the gym where I trained, and he was a real gentleman. And Henry Cooper dropped Ali in the second round, I think, and Ali said he was going to stop him in the fifth round, which he did stop him in the fifth round. he stopped him in the fifth round, but it was called he stopped Henry Cooper. Henry Cooper is one of the best heavyweights Britain ever had.
Yeah,
you know, so he could punch.
And if we go forward or fast forward to the present moment, I mean, do you think the big names in boxing now are up there at the same levels as the greats of Ali and Fraser and Lewis?
Well, England has a good heavyweight there now, if they look after him. Joshua, he's a good heavyweight. So he defends his title next in a fortnight's time. He's good. I have no interest in Tyson Fury. I don't like Tyson Fury, to be said about it. He's very erupt. You know, he came out last week about lesbians and that. And I should say that. I don't know. She'd mind her own business about that, like, you know. But,
and in terms of boxing in Donegal, lots of small clubs. And for a county which has many small clubs, we have produced quite a lot of fine boxers.
There's some good boxing in Donegal at the minute, if they stay at it, you know. There's a couple of young fellas from McCall there from Dunlow, and they're very, very good. There's a couple of young fellas from Ellie's in Buncrana, are good young fellas. And Raffoe has a couple of good boys there too. And Twintown. Yeah, them clubs.
Yeah.
And Letterkenny has a few good clubs, good boys in the club too. But it's trying to keep them at it the whole time. Yeah. It's very hard for young fellas to train, they're not getting paid. They're trying to keep a job down, and they're trying, you know, when they go to box.
And what would your advice be to any young aspiring boxer who feels that they certainly could make a go of things?
Well, I'd tell them to stick to amateurs, stick and try and make the Olympics, try and get on the Irish team, try and make the Olympics and stay, because they're getting paid now at the minute, you know, they're getting a good pay to stay amateur, which you might be. Jim McCourt was the same. Jim McCourt got nothing. McDowling, the same. All them boys, we fought together. We went to the Europeans in Madrid in 1970 for a fortnight, and we got £1 a day, £14 we had going to Madrid.
Changed times.
We went to the Europeans, and we were the worst dressed Irish team going out there. We hadn't even got a blazer. we got the blazer drone when we came back and got off the plane at Dublin Airport. And the Commonwealth Games, they looked after it very well. They closed it out from head to foot, like, and we were very, very well looked after.
Yeah.
So.
Great. Well, Paddy, we appreciate you coming on air this afternoon, and nice to have those memories of being in Croke Park on the same bill as the great Muhammad Ali.
Yeah,
and no doubt it was a sad moment for you hearing that news this morning.
Yeah, it was sad, all right, you know. Felt very, very, very sad about him passing away, because it was very nice to meet him, that thing, you know.
Yeah, and that time when you shook hands with him, I presume it was a very firm handshake.
Yeah, it was a firm handshake, you know, and he kind of tapped me on the head as well, the other hand, like, you know.
Great.